May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. 1044.
read together from the most holy word of God from Genesis. We read chapters 6 and 7. Phil cannot separate them, they go together. So it'll be a longish reading, but may the Lord bless it to the good of our never dying souls as we consider that which took place all those many years ago. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took of them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is a fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And of every clean beast shalt thou take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and were greatly increased upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was a breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, once more thou hast spared our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts on this another Sabbath day. And truly thou hast not cut us off as our sins deserve. Ah, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Thy compassions fail not. Oh, the door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Oh, and even the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And oh, as we venture to bow the knee before thee, oh, whether we in this way, oneself, we stand up audibly before the people to speak and to plead for those in the pew, Lord, may we each be humbled under thy mighty hand. For truly thou art a God of wrath and a God of mercy. And oh, as we read thy word, thou art a God that will not at all acquit the wicked. On those lines of the hymn, when thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Oh, may we be found then as that beggar poor, at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Oh, if we've got that measure of self-righteousness and pride, ah, Lord, strip it from us. Oh, it must be our whole dependence, my whole dependence on thee fix, nor entertain a thought my worthless schemes with thine to mix, but venture to be naught. Quite contrary to our natural being, our natural reasoning, our old nature, but it must be so. Oh, bring us that place low at thy feet. Lay us low and keep us there. May this be our desire to know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things beside. The work is thine, the power is thine. And as elders look upon the heart, and thou seest all the desire, and O Lord, as we've entered into thy courts, thou knowest how it was with some of us those years ago, just content with our coming and going, had a form of godliness which had no power, satisfied with empty rounds of dead service. And so we were content with those forms. Those outward forms, it satisfied our conscience in measure. But, O Lord, what a mercy when thou hast put forth thy mighty hand. When thou hast put forth thy mighty hand and arrest in that mad career. Oh, bring, into that place where we tremble under thy word. Knowing what it is to tremble on thy word, what a mercy indeed, and all that might be so with each one of us. Brought to tremble at thy word. Brought to realise that we've offended a holy, holy God. Offended. Yes, we may at times realise we've offended our fellow men. But when we're brought to see that we've offended a holy, holy God, may it please you then, take us each in hand. Convince of sin and lead to Christ. And what a blessed thing it is that if thou dost begin that work in the heart of man, thou will not leave them in that condition. Thou wilt work mightily in their hearts. And they'll begin to see in thee such a beauty. They shall begin to desire thee. As the Spirit leads them along, as they're brought to realise of a truth, there is no salvation in themselves, neither any other, but only in thee. And so, Lord, we plead from the youngest here to the oldest, awaken, quicken, breathe upon dry bones. Say unto this one and that one, live. O Lord, do then work mightily. Lord, we fast hasten on. A never-ending eternity before us, and we have those reminders, do we not? Have those reminders, yes, and sometimes we see that the warning is short. Prepare us each for that day. May we know what it is to come with those lines. May it be our desire, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Stir us up, Lord. We know not what a day or an hour may bring forth. And yet, how often we prove, do we not, we're so earthbound. We find this, we cannot move ourselves. We have no ability, no power. And in of ourselves, we have no desire. But under grace, is it not? Give me Christ or else I die. And like those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, may it please you then. Ah, that we might yet be found, each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, coming into thy courts, having had our ear bore to the doorpost. But ah, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, with that living desire, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Speak the word only. So we plead to remember each one. We may look upon the outward appearance and but thou lookest upon the heart. Thou lookest upon the heart, and thou knowest then where those are that, yes, thou hast wrought upon them, begun that good work in them. But yet, such is the assaults of Satan, that warfare which they know and feel. They wait daily at thy gates, at the post of thy doors. And the old adversary says, why go again? Why go again? There is no hope for such a sinner as you. But Lord, we plead, such thou knowest where they are. Perhaps know what it is to enter into the closet many a time, and even in the night season, like the dying thief. Yes, they feel, yes, their days hasten on, like the dying thief, brought with that cry in the last moments of his life. But oh, what a desire it was. An urgent desire. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Desperate cases pursued by the adversary. Oh Lord, do grant them those encouragements we plead. Yes, they may prove even the promise to be true. There is that time to favour Zion, when thou wilt favour Zion. So, Lord, do encourage me now to go on, waiting upon thee. Yes, waiting upon thee. For thy word declares, does it not? For are we yet being inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them? And so as thou hast put it in their hearts, that desire, that case where it is a necessity, the burden of their sins and a never-ending eternity, their never-dying soul. May they yet prove that promise. They might hear the shepherd's voice. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, they might yet hear those words of peace and pardon. They might know of a truth that they are found amongst those and shall be in that great day when we have to appear before the judge of all the earth. That they likewise shall be found amongst those who have come up out of great tribulation, that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But, O Lord, we plead for those that are gathered in the courts here within the confines of these walls. Lord, we plead also, are there none of thy dead elect in the vicinity round about? Not just in Swavesey, but in the villages round about. Lord, thou knowest where they are. Do yet awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Oh, bring this one and that one to that time of want, where they prove that the world cannot fill it. Ah, yes, There's that aching void that the world cannot fill. And they have to enter into thy courts, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We plead it likewise throughout this nation, the little hills of Zion. And, O Lord, as we've seen many chapels close over the years, there might be yet, if it could be, thy will. Once again in this nation, an awakening, a reviving. And as we see chapels close, there might be once again that time when there will be a building again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We verily can say, yes, there is nothing too hard for thee. But, O Lord, thou knowest our unbelief gets in the way. Our unbelief gets in the way. Carnal reasoning has a hand in it too. And we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. We think, well, how can things ever change? But blessed be God. Nothing is too hard for thee. And so may it please thee in this land of ours where we've turned thee the back and not the face. We certainly sin against light and knowledge. There might be once again that turning. Turn the hearts of man. Break their hard hearts. Take out the heart of stone and give that heart of flesh. And, O Lord, may it please thee. That once again it might be said of this nation, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach for any people. We are a reproach now, Lord. And oh, what do we see in our nation but confusion, utter confusion. And oh, Lord, we wonder where the scene will end. But oh, Lord, may it please thee, hear the cries of the remnant. That Zion cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. And we believe that thy hand is stretched out still, and thou hast heard those cries. And in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And so we plead, do stir us up, we might ever cry as regards this guilty, guilty land. But, O Lord, as we look upon the land and we look upon the sins of the nation, oh, how we also need that likewise stirring up in our own hearts to be made honest in thy sight, or even to come with that plea, search me and try me and see if any wicked way in my heart and bring us that true repentance and godly sorrow for sin. But, O Lord, also grant that grace to forsake those sins. Oh, that grace forsake them. So we plead to remember us. But, O Lord, we thank thee that we can gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. As we gather in thy courts, we thank thee for that freedom. And we have thy word in its entirety. And, O Lord, may it please thee then. That yes, we would not despise a day of small things. But oh, even this day as we gather and the little causes gather throughout this nation and the nations of the earth on thy Sabbath day and in the times appointed, that thy word might go forth with power. Thy word might go forth with power and thy voice be heard. Thy voice be heard. And so we plead, do remember Zion, we thank thee for the promise in thy word as we live in this day of small things, when truly evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. But as regards Zion, thou hast said thou would abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor bread. Oh, may it please thee this day. The little gatherings, the ones and the twos. Oh, as we see in Noah's day, We know not how many there were on the earth in those days, but just those 8 were gathered in. Ah, we see in our day, do we not, a falling away, a turning aside. And how often it is 1 and 2 gather in thy name. But, O Lord, we verily thank thee that we're, and it is so, where 2 or 3 gather together in thy name, thou hast said thou wilt be in the midst. And so, Lord, we plead that it might be so. May it prove to be so. May one in the midst of the people, ah, whether it is with few or with many, may thy voice be heard. Ah, may there be that losing sight of the man and seeing none other save Jesus only. But, O Lord, we would not forget the varied ones that have gathered from the youngest here to the oldest. Lord, we plead for the young. Ah, yes, the babes in arms, those going up and going on to into life. We plead for them in this dark and evil day. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Oh, begin that work in their hearts whilst young in years, we plead. For we read in thy word, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. Oh, plant thy fear in their hearts. May they, as they're led along, seek counsel of thee, that thou wouldest guide them in their paths and direct their steps, and make ways for them, perhaps where there seems to be no way. But, oh, cast all their cares upon thee, and prove that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God, and that truly thou art the one that goes before his sheep. Yes, even the lambs. Oh, yes, the lambs are of the fold, are they not? Ah, and the shepherd that goes before his sheep, and he leads them forth that right way, that they might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. Remember parents in all their responsibilities. Lord, a day when evil is called good and good is called evil, we plead that thou wouldst grant them wisdom in those times when hard questions shall arise. Ah, solemn day indeed. Those things promoted in, yes, by the government to be taught to our children makes us tremble. But, O Lord, we're open to counter those arguments. May it please thee that as they are enabled so to speak, that thy blessing might rest upon it. And as they speak, and it may it enter into the hearts of the young ones and be sealed there as thy, yes, even as thy word, as regards what is right and what is wrong. So, Lord, we plead for them. Remember those in the midst of life, whether it is the busy ones in their studies and the busy housewives and mothers in their home, those in their workplaces and all the changing scenes there, but also in retirements. Lord, we live in a fast-moving age when, yes, things change in a moment. Troubles come in a moment. Trials come in a moment. And we can be so overtaken with fears. Fears and foes of every shape and form that seem to conspire against us. And Lord, we often come to this like Jehoshaphat of old. Neither know we what to do, but rise up unto thee. And Lord, perhaps one or another, they're in such a place. Neither know we what to do. Something so hard, a mountain so high, a dark place that's so dark. Oh, may they seek counsel of thee. Oh, may they prove the government, their government, the government of their affairs, their path, tribulations and sorrows, yes, as well as those times of joy, the government of them rests upon thy shoulder. Lord, may it please thee then. Undertake for each one, manage all, by the way unto the end. Remember those in the even time of life. They feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, may they prove again and again. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. O, the God of Jacob, the God of Jeshurun, who writeth on the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the skies, and underneath are the everlasting arms. O, may they prove it. Grant them those fresh tokens, those revivings. Oh, perhaps in their age and infirmity, they find, yes, memory, mind and body. Oh, and they feel, where is the fruit to be found? But, oh, Lord, may they prove again and again the former and latter rain in their season and the dew upon their branch. Bring to remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them, and grant them those fresh tokens, those fresh tokens. Ah, that they are born of God, that their treasure is above. So, Lord, we plead for those in age and infirmity. Remember the sick. And, Lord, we think of one another throughout the hills of Zion. Perhaps there are those here we know not of, but thou knowest where they are, laid on a bed of affliction this day. Perhaps in thy courts and they have an affliction. Ah, may they yet prove it is not out of place. All must come and last an end, as shall please our heavenly friend. But, O Lord, thou knowest how under afflictions we kick and struggle like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, until thou dost sanctify it. So, Lord, we plead, do sanctify affliction's path, sweeten all the pain. And may they in the midst of it all. Ah, yes. Ah, see one who suffered much in their room, place, and stead. And what are our afflictions? What is our pain compared to what the Lord of life and glory suffered to redeem us from the hand of the enemy, to save us from the wrath to come? No, Lord, even this poor sinner has known what it has been like under severe pain. Ah, to have it so sanctified, sweetened, when we meditated upon a precious Christ and his sufferings. Ah, then we can say, well, we can kiss the rod. We can say then, it was good that I was afflicted, before I was afflicted I went astray. For we then prove more of our wretched self and more of a precious Christ. So, Lord, we plead, do make one with us now. Bless us each together. Do us each good, send none empty away. The work is thine. Ah, we're but the instrument. Oh, pour in that we may pour out. For, O Lord, this poor sinner, we have to come like this, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Ah, give that to speak. And, oh, may the Spirit attend it with power. And, oh, Lord, may it do some poor sinner good, that it may yet redound to thine honour and thy glory, that thy name should have all the praise. Where we failed in our asking, Lord, do be pleased to make up in giving. Ah, perhaps one feels, yes, no one ever enters into my case. Always seem to be forgotten, yes, what poor creatures we are. We're forgetful, we are, and some, yes, have a case that is hidden from everyone. But, ah, he knoweth the way, ah, that each one takes. Ah, may it please thee, draw near unto them, comfort them. And even like Job of old, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, and our failings and shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 924. Great rock for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. 924.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention. Turn to the word which we read in Genesis and turn to chapter 7 and read the last part of verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. And the Lord shut him in. 15 and 16. Well, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two of all flesh, wherein is a breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The thought just before we stood up, the words the Lord's servant spake from, even yesterday evening. And as we see a goodly number of all ages before us, there is that very concern. Yes, we may have those concerns for one another regards their pathway here below. But it's eternity. Your never dying soul. Oh, and that day hastens on, does it not? Hastens on. Nor as we sat in our dear friend's home even on the past evening and heard the clock tick. Time, eternity. Time, eternity. And the hands went on. The hands went on. Brings us to realize, yes, they don't go backwards, they go forwards. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We realize another year comes toward a close. Comes toward a close. So our lives hasten on. Time, eternity. Time, eternity. Time, well, what is that if we're spared to 100 years upon the earth? 'Tis as nothing. 'Tis as nothing compared to what eternity is. All those unnumbered years. Man can record time. He can record time. Yes, as a clock may tick, as it clocks up, second after second, a minute after minute, an hour after hour. Yes, day after day, week after week, he can calculate that. And so it has been calculated from the beginning of the creation. But there shall come that time, eternity. Eternity. And that clock of your life and mine shall cease. Shall cease. And as we read in the word, as a tree falls, so it shall lie. We come to the house of God. And some of us with shame, I believe the Lord's servant spake in a similar manner, if I'm not wrong. But oh, how many years we sat in the house of God and heard sermon after sermon. We heard it with the outward ear. Had no effect upon us. Had no effect. For we were dead. Unconcerned. But what a mercy when it's brought. When we're brought, the Spirit works within. That word awakens us. Awakens us to that very, very thought, that very view of eternity, our need as a sinner, our need of a Saviour. And so the word on the past evening, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. And how many times we heard, as we said, sermon after sermon, and certainly in that way we saw no beauty in Christ, that we should desire him. For we had no need, didn't know that we were a sinner. As we said, until the Spirit awakens. And so as we see young, those in the midst of life, and those in the even time of life before us in the courts of the Lord, how stands the case with each one of us? How stands the case with each one of us? Have we heard that voice? We found as one still as a rebel. Oh, we read Dewey Norton as we had it in the chapter. In the days of Noah. The days of Noah. Almighty God looked upon man. And yes, we may be found in the courts of the Lord. The Lord looks upon the heart. Your heart and mine, it's open to the eyes of Almighty God, even as we sit and stand in the courts of the Lord this morning. As Almighty God looked down upon the face of the earth in those days, and he saw the sons of God, and he saw, yes, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, but also Almighty God looked upon them, both the sons and the daughters, men and women, looked upon them. The Lord said this, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For what did he see? Wickedness. Looks upon the heart, my heart. It doesn't excuse the one that stands in the pulpit. The Lord looks upon the heart and sees a desire. Where is your desire? Where is mine? Where are your thoughts? Where are mine? Solemnly and sadly, I confess that there were many years indeed where I sat in the pew and I made my thoughts go hither and thither. Like those of the world, yes, I wasn't perhaps found in that outward manner walking those ways, but my mind went hither and thither. The Lord looks from heaven, searches the heart, your heart and mine. So we may be found in the courts of the Lord. Ah, it's a mercy indeed. We're found sitting under the gospel. But there's nothing saving in that. Nothing saving in that. Oh, in those days I used to think, well, I was found in the house of God. Kept the Sabbath in measure. As I thought. Yet the heart was far from the Lord. The heart was as the wicked outside. No different than the wicked outside. Those going and toing and froing, not entering into the courts of the Lord. The Lord looked upon the earth. Man and women, because we're all from the loins of Adam, are no different in this day as what they were in those days before the flood, in the days of Noah. And God saw the wickedness of man. That the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we read, do we not? And we repented. Ah, this one that canst not look upon sin. Canst not look upon sin. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But we read, do we not, about Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, we read, I believe it's in the first or second epistle, General Peter, that it describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. And no doubt when Almighty God commanded Noah, told Noah that which he was to do, and what he was going to do, no doubt, as a preacher of righteousness, and those round about him, those round about him, that he exhorted, preached unto them, that which concerned salvation, the need of a sinner, and that salvation which was in one to come. Yes, we know Noah lived in the day many, many years before Christ came upon the earth. But these things were made known unto them. And like we read as regards Abraham, he went to offer up his only son Isaac. Where his son Isaac said to him, see, here is the fire and the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the offering? And Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb. And so I believe it was with Noah. No doubt, there he went and preached day after day. Day after day, and to those round about him, and no doubt he had many to help him as he it would have employed them to go about that labour in the construction of the ark. And yet, no doubt they scoffed, and yes, no doubt much scoffing. No doubt much scoffing. His words, seem to fall, as we put it this way, upon deaf ears. Deaf ears. We turn to that word then. How many words have we heard, how many sermons have we heard preached, and it's fallen upon deaf ears. Fallen upon deaf ears. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Well, Noah may have been that one preaching, but it was not his word, it was a word of the Lord. Yet it had no effect upon them. Their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. My mind also went to one word as we read it in Ezekiel's prophecy. And there we have to speak as we are brought to speak, and it's not to sew pillows under armpits or raise up upon a false foundation. But even as the prophet Ezekiel, we read of it, do we not, in the chapter 3. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib, and dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. The Lord's servants are those watchmen, are they not? And like as it was unto Ezekiel, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, not his word, but the word of the Lord. and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And so Noah, that one faithful before God, that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, no doubt, day after day, day after day, and that voice was not heard. Her voice was not heard. And so we come again into the courts of the Lord. And how many days have been your days here upon the earth? How many times have you and I been sat under the sound of the gospel? And have not heard. Not heard, yes, a word that may quicken. Not heard a word that brings, makes known unto some poor sinner that preciousness of a precious Christ revealed, the hope of glory through that which Christ hath wrought in the sinner's room, place, and stead. You still found this one? Even as we read in Isaiah's prophecy, that precious chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. But what do we read there? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Are you still found? If we do not warn, as I said, you turn to that portion in Ezekiel. If we warn not the wicked, then in that day of judgment, the blood shall be upon the one that's sent forth as a watchman. Stand in a solemn place. Stand in a solemn place. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And as that chapter 53 opens, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And that is how we are by nature. As we said in the days of Noah, even Noah, yes, he found grace in the eyes of God. But those that lived around him, saw no beauty in Christ. They had no need. Well, we read that description, do we not, of them, that Almighty God said of them, they were giants. Men of renown. Perhaps they felt that measure of strength, ability of mind and spirit and body. And is it not until the Lord weakens your strength and mind in the way, we won't be found amongst those renowned, those giants, that it must be as this, a beggar poor. If you're brought as a beggar poor, that beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I, brought there with all your wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It's then that the poor sinner has a need. It's then that like the Ethiopian eunuch, Oh, there might be so in Zion this day, like the Ethiopian eunuch that was outwrought in him. And he's found in a desert place. Ah, and he's reading that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. No doubt he could trace out that which he was by nature, how he was by his birth. But all with a living desire then under grace. Almighty God knew of his condition, the path he walked in, and that desire, and sent Philip, his servant, down to him there. Sent him down to him in that desert place. Ah, and as you read that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it speaks of that one. That one, yes, did we not have it in the hymn? If I can, well, in that way, is it not that great rock? That great rock for weary sinners. When storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head. When lightnings blaze and thunders roll, within the clefts of his dear side, oh, the ark speaks of Christ. It speaks of Christ. Oh, have you need them, poor sinner? Ah, how solemn if we're found like those, even as Noah exhorted, preached unto again and again. They refuse to hear the voice that spake. But I believe that Ethiopian eunuch, there was that wrought in him, he'd heard that voice, brought to a time of need. Brought to a time of need. And ah, when that time of need is known and felt in the soul, there is much trembling, fearfulness. Ah, yes, because they are brought to realize that their sins deserve, yes, that endless death, that endless eternity where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. Oh, that change wrought, desiring Christ. But oh, perhaps even as we speak, the old adversary, yes, stirs up the thought in the one or another's heart. Well, the old adversary, that real foe, he's that one that will keep. Yes, he will keep if he can, but blessed be God, if there's that wrought of the Spirit in your heart, it cannot be so. But ah, those that are yet dead, and perhaps in their deadness they say, well, no need to worry, no need to worry. Ah, but like those there, perhaps the hardness of their heart, they thought, well, don't believe, no need to worry. All things go on as they once did. But oh, what must it have been when that day came? When that day came. Yes, Noah, His wife and his three sons and their wives were gathered in, and the Lord shut them into that ark. What must it have been to those on the outside when those waters, when the heavens were opened, and those waters began to rise? What must it have been? My mind has been upon it much over the past days. What must it have been? Cannot comprehend it. But no doubt, like we read concerning that marriage feast where there were those three wise and three foolish virgins standing at the door waiting for the invitation into that marriage feast. Time came when those wicked, those foolish, which speaks of those that they're still in their wickedness. They have a form that have no power. Speaks of those. That time when their lamps went out, and they had no oil in their vessels either to replenish their lamps. They had to go and buy. And when they returned, but ere they returned, before they returned, the bridegroom came, the door was opened, and those three wives were invited in, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Ah, how solemn it was. They came back, and the door was shut. Like we read as regards Noah. Once Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives had entered into that ark, and those beasts as Noah was commanded to gather in, Almighty God, the Lord God Almighty, shut him in. No more to be opened. Solemn indeed. But oh, I thought upon it, and my mind, yeah, sometimes you find your mind is active in these things, and how solemn must have been the case. No doubt many cries went up then, that they might be saved, but the door was shut. Noah had no might, well, he had no power, for it was not for him to shut that door, but the Lord shut it. The Lord shut it. Oh, does it concern you or I? Ah, we shut in with a precious Christ. Ah, we shut in that cleft of the rock. We found sheltering there. Within the clefts of his dear side, there all his saints in safety dwell. And what from Jesus shall divide? Not all the rage of earth and hell. Ah. Does it concern you, poor sinner? Oh, I felt it rest upon my spirit, burden my soul. Ah, to be made right and kept right. Ah, yes, often think of this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And perhaps some in those days thought, well, yes, perhaps even as this, self-righteousness and pride. There no need of salvation. Ah. But oh, as they saw those waters rise, shut out. And the lines of a hymn also came to my mind this morning, and it was that hymn of hearts. And you may say, well, the old adversary may say, well, your sins are beyond that salvation. There is no hope for a sinner like you. My mind went to that hymn. You turn to it. Ah, hymn 802. Well, I can't read the whole hymn, but you read it at your leisure. And I found those verses true. I can't deserve to share in a favour so divine. But since sin first fixed thee there, none have greater sins than mine. And to this my woeful plea, witness thou, Gethsemane. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, since immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Is that your desire? I believe that was the desire of that Ethiopian eunuch he saw in that chapter. His hiding place. That Ark of the Covenant. That place of safety. Yes, for a poor sinner is like the city of refuge. Like the hymn writer put it, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Ah, where is your soul hanging, poor sinner? Is it still upon self? Or are you found as this one? Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Here's my claim, and here alone none a saviour more can need. Deeds of righteousness I've none. No, not one good work to plead. Not a glimpse of hope for me. Only in Gethsemane. There is no salvation anywhere else, poor sinner. But in that cleft of the rock. Ah, yes, that riven side. Oh, we read, do we not? When Christ hung upon the cross, that one came by and thrust that spear into his side, did he not? And forthwith came the blood and the water. Ah, that cleft of the rock. Ah, may you prove and may you find it to be so. That place of safety. May you come as the Spirit enables you. Yes, to pour out your heart before the Lord. Yes, true confession and godly sorrow for sin. And oh, may you see that which flowed forth that day. To be of sin the double cure. To cleanse me from its guilt and power. Ah, shut in. The Lord shut him in. Oh, may that be your desire and mine. We might be shut in with Christ. Bound up in that covenant ordering all things and sure. Clothed upon with that robe of his righteousness. That when we come to that day of judgment, that it might truly be said. 'Tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Ah, that place of safety. Oh, may you be found like those Greeks of old. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £835, and yesterday for the Oakington Building Fund to £1,722, for both of which we're very thankful. Mr. Burgess hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon, and God willing, Mr. Wells is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for the nation on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, with an address by Mr. Jonathan Buss, who is also expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. And there will be a church meeting on the 4th of November. Let us close with hymn 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee. Seek thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. 916.
Which is of thee. May thy voice have been heard. Ah, may it please thee. Ah, thy voice that might enter in with power, even into the hardest of heart. Ah, yes, one, even with that, yes, I have to prove this. No power to do anything of themselves, but oh, when the Spirit seals a heart, though the word there is like that nail in a sure place. Ah, and the sharp two-edged sword separating between the joints and the marrow. Oh, bringing into that concern, bringing into that living desire. Oh, and to know, longing to know thee, to lay hold upon thee. Lord, to have made known unto them the joys of thy salvation, Christ revealed, the hope of glory. So we plead that it might be so. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do be pleased to come up with us again in the evening hour. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.